Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So before we get back to the phone lines, who you got in the NFC East? The other part of the Eagles game last night that, you know, again, once again, generated a lot of response, most of it, I think, appropriately negative, is the Eagles running four straight tush pushes, starting with a third and one at the Giant 3-yard line, down 13-10 midway through the second quarter. They didn't get it. Then the next one on fourth and one, they got it. And then first and goal at the one, they didn't get it. And then on second and goal at the one, they got it. Four straight tush pushes. Apparently, it's a record. It doesn't seem like a record to me. It seems like they've done it four times in a row, three times in a row in other games. And that's the nature of this play because it's just so hideously boring. It's like I've said before, there are so many elements to this that have to be considered. I still can't believe they did not outlaw this before the season. But number one is, it is a play that has total predictability. You know, it doesn't matter how many times. Once they line up, you know the final result 94% of the time will end in a first down. It's sort of like what the old extra point was, you know, at 94, 95%. That's why they moved it back to 33 yards to create some drama associated with it. So it's a play that is utterly predictable in terms of the ultimate result, which isn't what the NFL wants. Four of them in a row, and I've mentioned this before, and people took me to task, and I understand the reason why. When I said it slows the pace of the game, many of you responded with, well, no, it doesn't. It's not like they, you know, stop the clock or anything like that. The clock runs. That's true. I'm not talking about it literally. I'm talking about last night, 2 minutes and 6 seconds of the game clock rolling by for four plays that have literally no drama to them at all. None. These are moments in which you can literally get up, go to the bathroom, get up, go get something to eat. This is not going to be anything resembling a normal scrimmage play, which is we don't really know what's going to happen on this play. The other thing, too, and I've mentioned this many times, is that the Eagles, I think, have given up a lot of yards by not running normal plays. We know what third and one, fourth and one, potential big play, chunk play, that exists in those situations more than they do in other situations. Now, you can make the argument, hey, I'd rather retain possession and not have to punt or take the risk of punting. I get it. But they take away big play opportunities, and they need big play opportunities. And lastly, it's just not officiated. Once again, last night, there's a clear false start from the right guard. Does not get called. They're not officiating. They're not enforcing the rules with the play. I honestly would put it at 0% chance that this play exists next year. They will institute the rule that says no aiding via push or pull of any runner at any time behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. It was a rule that was in place all the way through 2006, was it? And then the rules changed. So for most of our football watching days, for most of us, this rule existed. It was not allowed. Four straight tush pushes last night. Utter boredom. And it's got to go. It's an abomination to watch. And I'll say it a million times. You can believe me if you want, or you don't have to if you're an Eagle fan. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's you. If it were the Panthers doing it, I would feel the same way. If the Panthers were good and we were seeing it in the biggest highlighted games every week, 2 minutes and 6 seconds of nothing, nothing. No chance for anything exciting to happen. 2 minutes and 6 seconds of football. That cannot happen moving forward. It won't. There's no chance. I'd bet my firstborn on it. All right, back to the question of the day. After Philly's loss last night, who do you have in the NFC East? I put a poll up at Kevin Sheehan, D.C., if you want to vote. Right now, yeah, of course. Over 600 votes in the first hour. Washington, 80.8%. Philly, 14.3% of the vote. Dallas, 3.5%. The Giants at 1.4%. I think Washington can win the division because I thought they could win it before the season started because I think they've got the best quarterback in the division. So that's my default. Now we have more information. Philly's struggling, at least for now. They could get it together. They're certainly capable of it. Dallas is a bit of a surprise. Best offense, yardage-wise, in the NFL. Certainly can put points up on the board, and they're not even healthy on offense. Could they get to the point where defensively they get a little healthier, and they get to the point where they're just bad instead of horrific, and they have the kind of season our team had last year? I don't know. It's the NFL. They need to be a lot better on defense, though. A lot better, or at least opportunistic. Because I don't think Dak is Jaden in terms of the overall threat posed to a defense. He's playing well, though. Max likes Washington. I like Washington to win the NFC East. Let's go to our guy Ryland, our favorite Canadian friend who lives in Oklahoma City. Go ahead.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kev. Good morning, buddy.
What's up,
like
Ryan?
You say, just living the dream, my man. Let's start with the tush push. I think that's a joke, and the Eagles are as well. I think something's going on there, and it's bigger than just the turmoil in there. I think Hurts is not an elite quarterback. I don't know what he is, but he's not elite. The Giants with the rookie will be fun to watch, but they're not real. The Cowboys, like you say, are a shock, but I refuse to believe in that team because of the culture issue at the top. And on the other side of Dan, I think that I can see that more clearly now. So I'm saying the Skins are winning with 12 wins, but a big one Monday night, that's for sure.
I don't think it's going to be 12. I predicted 11-6 regular season. I think that's in play, but I have a feeling, Ryland, it's going to be a division that's won with like 10 wins. Maybe 11 will be required because the NFC East has, as we know, the AFC West, and it has the NFC North. And you got, games with the Lions and the Packers among division teams, still with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos. There's a lot left here, and I'm still skeptical about what Washington can be defensively against the better teams, the healthier teams in the league. But I could see a season like last year. Last year they won 12. I could see a season like last year where maybe it's a game or two less, but still just get into the dance with Jaden at quarterback. Our guy Mark in Largo, what's up? Who you got winning the division?
I'm not wavering from what I said at the beginning of the season. I got them going 14-3. Now, I waver with the two losses, but I think the two losses, understanding everything there is. Look, this game Monday night is a bigger game psychologically for the Bears, and that's where I think the way the Bears are coming into this game is great for if you're a Commanders fan and the Commanders, because they're so focused on what happened last year, that they don't realize that Washington's a much better team this year than they were last year. And that's where I think
they have the capability of being a better team on Monday night than they were last year on that Sunday afternoon.
I would agree. And I just think that Washington, let's look at the other Dallas. Who is Dallas? Okay, Dallas played a great game against Green Bay. I personally think if Washington runs the ball against Green Bay, it's a better game. I don't know if they win, but it's a better game if they run the football. Just like I think if they ran the football against Atlanta, it's a better game. They probably beat Atlanta if Jaden's in there and they run the football. But my thing with Dallas is, name me somebody who Dallas has beaten that's credible. Nobody. And the meat of that schedule.
Well, they tied Green Bay. Tough. Credible.
Okay. And we're finding out that Green Bay – it's kind of fraudulent. We're finding that out right now.
Let's wait on that one.
They're going to lose Cincinnati on Sunday.
You, really? They're going to lose as a 15-point favorite?
Don't call me crazy because I was the same person.
Listen, look, nothing's crazy. And I'll tell you what, I always look at the games in which Survivor Pool players will load up on one team. And anybody that hasn't had the Packers in a Survivor Pool this weekend will have the Packers against the Bengals. So those games are always a little bit scary. But I think Green Bay coming off the the bye week, et cetera, that they're going to be ready to roll.
Receivers are hungry, and you got a quarterback that can get them the ball. But back to the
yeah,
command,
but you don't have a line that can block for the 41-year-old quarterback.
That may be true too. That's why I don't understand why they didn't go after Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson. But that's another story for the Cincinnati Bengals. That's
Did you see Russ in there last night for the few plays he got in there? He's terrible.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true.
By the way, just completely, I'm going to do to you what you do to me all the time. I'm going to become uncoachable here. You know, Russell Wilson was an absolute, I think, lock Hall of Famer after his Seattle days. And what'll be interesting with his case is, will Denver, Pittsburgh, and the Giants leave this lasting impression of a diva quarterback who couldn't do it even close to the way a Hall of Famer is supposed to do it at the end of his career?
I would agree.
I just digress for a moment, but go ahead.
No, it's quite all right. Look, I think if Jaden is upright, he's clearly the best quarterback in the NFC East and maybe the best quarterback in the NFC, period.
Yeah.
I know people will have arguments with that. Maybe they will say Jared Goff. Kevin, I don't think Jared Goff, if he's quarterbacking against Washington, he becomes one-dimensional against them. That's why I don't see Detroit beating us when they play us. I don't see them beating us.
Well, they didn't need to be one-dimensional against us last year. They should have kept handing the ball off to Jahmyr Gibbs. That's what they should have done.
Well, so you can't run on Washington this year. Now, you could throw on Washington. And that's where I think Detroit.
Well, when you say you can't run on them, let's wait until they play like a team that really likes to line it up and run it against teams. Because Bijan looked pretty good.
Line it up and run. Atlanta lines it up and run.
Yeah, it was an okay day stopping the run. An okay day.
That's true.
It wasn't a great day. It was an okay day. All right.
That's true.
You got Washington winning the division, right?
14-3.
Okay.
Representing the
I gotta move
in
on.
The Super Bowl and beating Buffalo in the Super Bowl just to piss off Bills fans.
Stay on hold, everybody else. We'll do one more segment of this. Ben will join us at 12 smell test picks next hour.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.